serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Easy for me to say this morning. So hope you're having a great day. Welcome to the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And if you're looking for a church of perfect people, we are not the church for you. We are a church, people who love Jesus, want to be a blessing, want to be a blessing to God, want to be a blessing to our family, want to be a blessing to our church, want to be a blessing to our community. And this year, we are looking to move forward in our relationship with God, to move forward in maturity, move forward in faith, move forward in compassion, and move forward in the Word of God and our relationship with Him. And we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. Besides the verbal blunders that I've already made in the first minute of the program here today, I am here this morning to correct a mistake that I made yesterday in announcing the start of our youth service. I got the date right, did not get the time right. For some reason, I had the correct time in my mind, but I convinced myself I was wrong, and so I announced a different time, only to discover that was not the case at all. So, tonight, Wednesday night, we will be having our midweek service. We will be having a young adult service that takes place at 7. We have a kids class that takes place at 7. We have our adult Bible study that takes place at 7. And beginning tomorrow, a week from tomorrow night, Thursday, January the 22nd, we will be relaunching our youth ministry. It's going to be called MI, as for Merritt Island, MI Island Youth. So My Island Youth, that will be a week from tomorrow, starting January 22nd, 2026, at 6 p.m., probably go to about 7:30. There's going to be some fellowship. There'll be food. There'll be games. There'll be some worship. There will be a time in the Word. And we want to invite those who are, I think it's 7th through being a senior in high school, 7th grade through senior in high school, if you would like to come out and hang out with some other young people and grow in your faith, Pastor Harley Capsudo leads our youth ministry, as well as a number of other things going on at the church. He's actively involved in some of the Christian clubs on school campuses, and we are relaunching because we don't want to see a generation lost to the kingdom of God. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, we have it on Thursday nights. Maybe you go to another church. We're not looking to, you know, steal people from other churches. We just want to be a part of the community of faith here in Brevard County that is doing our part to reach young people and see them become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the 22nd, a week from tomorrow, 6 p.m. till about 7:30. So that's when that will kick off. So if you'd be praying for us in that regard, that would be greatly appreciated. So I've been going through Acts 17 here with you. I'll begin reading today in verse number 22. Again, this is part of a message that I shared at Merit Assembly of God, and probably some enhancements here on the radio, because I don't have the time constraints necessarily that I have. I'm able to do a little better explaining and elaborating on what I was sharing. So here's what it says in Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of all this to, or given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." So that's where I'm going to stop the reading today. So what Paul observed in Athens was that there were people who wanted to worship God, but they didn't know who they were worshiping. And I was actually having this conversation, or a similar conversation, with Pastor Harley, our youth pastor, and he made a statement that, you know, there are people who are comfortable worshiping Jesus as long as you don't define him, as long as you don't get real serious about the Jesus of the Word. You know, if you can just make him a good man, or if you can just make him a good teacher, or if you can just make him one of the ways to heaven, people are okay with that. But there are a lot of people who worship without knowledge. And Paul said, when I saw that, I want you to know why I am here. It's not to satisfy your curiosity about some new thing. I'm here to make God known. And so there's a phrase that is, my privilege is to know God and to make him known. So if I try and make him known without knowing him, I'm going to miss the mark. I am going to give an inadequate representation or reflection of who he is, because I don't really know him. And there are a lot of people who try and talk about God, but they don't really know who they're talking about. So let me tell you this first. If you want to know God, you've got to know his word. Because his word tells us who he is. Please understand that when Paul stood in Athens to make God known. He had spent a lifetime studying about God, which led him to a hostility towards believers until he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and until he encountered Ananias, who walked into the room and said, "Brother Saul," Saul was his name before Paul, "the Lord Jesus has sent me to you," until there was a man by the name of Barnabas who was of great encouragement and recognized the call of God upon his life, upon Paul's life, and went and retrieved him and brought him to a place of ministry. During all of that, we're talking about a long stretch of time that went on there. We live in a society now that is so convenience-minded. So I remember what life was like before we had a microwave. Now, I'm not saying that microwaves didn't exist. The one that we eventually had it was massive. It was very, very large and very, very heavy. But I remember having to heat food up on top of the stove before that, and then what it was like after. Well, I'm the guy that took that convenience where it's not taking 20 minutes to dinner, it's taking 2 minutes until dinner. I'm the guy that would stand there and say, "A minute 45 is close enough. Let's go ahead. I don't like my food, you know, coming out with flames and, you know, scalding my throat either or my lips. I don't like it super hot." My father-in-law, when he was alive, he wanted his soup to be just this side of boiling. It was so hot I couldn't even touch the spoon to my lip, and he was like, "Oh man, that's just going down so smooth." I'm the guy that couldn't wait the extra 15 seconds. I remember when we first moved to Brevard County, we lived in Palm Bay, and I encountered something there I had never seen before. I had been around convenience stores, and convenience stores back in those days, one of them was like right across the street from a full-fledged grocery store. So you could go to the convenience store where you could pay more for many of the same items for less selection, but you didn't have to walk around the entire store. The convenience was everything was in a close and compacted area, and they had a few extra ready-to-eat things that people could partake of. And so there was a convenience, but there was a cost to the convenience. When we came to Florida and were living in Palm Bay, I encountered a drive-through convenience store. And I was like, now that takes convenience to a whole different level. And I still really don't know, you know. In fact, I don't even know if that place is still there. I don't get down to Palm Bay much anymore these days. I was down there back in the latter part of last year. Pastor Ross, who was on the radio here on the AM dial, WWBC, he passed away, and I'd gone down to visit him. There are a lot of people who don't want to take the time to know God's word. They just want to start talking about God. And I will tell you, there's a huge difference between knowing someone and knowing about them. So Paul begins to explain to the people of Athens the God that they're worshiping, but they don't know anything at all about. So let me share with you just a little bit of about who God is. From this passage, he's God. He's not man. He's not a politician. He's not a theory. He is a very real God who sits upon the throne competently does all things well. All good things come from him. He is love. I'm doing a little bit of elaboration from other parts of the scripture, but I want you to know he's God. If everybody on planet Earth rejects him as God, he's still God. If everyone accepts him as God, he is still God. He is God without needing any support system. He is the self-existent one. So they had this territorial mindset of deities in the ancient world, where you could have a god of war, and you could have a god of fertility, and you could have a god of the mountains, and a god of the sea, and you could have a god of the valleys, and you could have a god of the underworld, and all of that sort of stuff. God's dominion is universal. The only question is whether we are going to acknowledge his lordship and authority in our lives, and that's because he created us for that specific decision. So he is the one who made the world. Actually, if you were to go over into Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith, you are going to find that one of the first acts of faith is to understand that God is the creator. So in verse 3, it says this: by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So there are a lot of people who believe everything around us just amazingly happened in such a way, in such a synchronized and precise timeline, that everything came together in the same place at the same time with such a panoramic diversity that everything needed to thrive and to live was there at the same time. I will flat out tell you, I don't have enough faith for that. I've seen too many car collisions. I didn't see anything beautiful that came out of them. I was moving some things around in my backyard a couple of weeks ago. And when I moved something, it fell apart. And I went to look, and there was a part that there was a nut that was missing. I don't know where the nut went to. I didn't assemble it, but I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And without that one little thing, which was in place at one point in time, that toy was of no usefulness until that part is replaced. I've seen a lot of things that were inadequate, you know, and things just got worse because there were things that were missing. I've never seen a cosmic accident that created anything glorious or beautiful. So God made the world and everything in it. So you need to know that he's creator God, that he made us. We did not create him. I did not invent God. God created me, and he created you. Now, he created us to live in his presence. He created us for his pleasure. He created us for his purpose and his timing. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a fallen world where people are making decisions contrary to what God's perfect will is for their life. It happens every day, and all of us have to deal with the ramifications of, sometimes it's ramifications of our decisions, sometimes it's ramifications from other people's decisions and actions. But God made everything in heaven, and God made everything here on earth. That means that he understands how things are supposed to work. He understands when things are not working according to his design, and he knows how to repair. So He is able to not only create, but he's also able to heal. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Paul goes on and he explains to the Athenians there that God cannot be contained in temples. So it doesn't matter how big a box you try and create for God, you are never going to create one that can completely encapsulate him. He is infinite. He is the life giver. So I mentioned earlier that God is love, and there is no other source of love besides God. There are counterfeits. There are inferior offerings that the enemy would make available to people, but they do not measure up to the covenantal love that God created for us. With that same vein of thought, I want you to know that Jesus is said repeatedly to be the life. He is the life. It's a definitive article, not one of many sources of life. He's life. He's the resurrection and life. He's the way, the truth, the life. That's who he is. And so when he says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, then we need to realize that he is the life giver. And so the one that we need to know is the one who makes life possible, makes life meaningful, makes life full to the uttermost, or abundant life. And so life begins when Jesus comes into our heart. At that point in time, spiritual life takes place inside of us. He's the breath giver. So we've had some people who've been having some challenges with respiratory issues across the family scale, some people in the church. And every time someone has a breathing issue, I pray this prayer. God, you said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So this attack on breathing is an attack on preventing worship. And so, God, I pray that you would heal those lungs so that they can breathe forth the praises of God who called them out of darkness into marvelous life. So he is the source of all things. He's the source of all good things. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. He is Lord over humanity. It says here that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He is he's made all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the faces of the earth. So once again, God, by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, makes it known that God is the one who made humanity. Humanity did not make God. Idols are man's attempt to explain things away so they don't have to put their faith and trust in God. Now, I want to share with you from verse number 26, two things before we wrap up. It says, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. I may not get all the way through this, but I will tell you this. Why 2026? It's because the sovereign God has a plan for me in 2026, and he has a plan for you in 2026. He chooses the timeline. I know this, that God numbers my days. And so he knew when I was going to be born. He knows when I'm going to be promoted into his presence, either by death or by return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I have my preference, but he's the one that chooses my timeline. So I embrace the season. One of the ways that this word is translated is not just times, but season. He knows the season that I'm in. I'm not in the same season I was when I came to Merit Assembly of God 33 years ago. I'm not in the same season as far as family. I'm not in the same season as far as energy. I'm not in the same season as far as energy goes. But I'm also not in the same season that I was then of faith. My faith is much stronger now. It wasn't that I thought that it was weak then, but my faith is like that, the pressure inside of a volcano that is just, it's getting more and more intense so that it comes forth just exactly when it needs to come forth. So I want to encourage you, don't regret the season you're in. Search for God in the season you're in, because I'll get a little ahead of myself. The times and the boundaries that we have set in for us, it says so that we will seek him, so that we will reach for him, so that we will find him. That's the next program, but giving you just a little bit of a tease there of what's coming up. Why are you in the season that you're in? Because you need God in this season just as much as you've ever needed him in any season. You need God when you're a child. You need God when you're an adult. You need God when you're first saved. You need God if you've been saved for 10 decades. You need God just as much now as you've ever needed him before. He chooses our times. He also chooses our boundaries. I believe in boundaries. I believe in God-established boundaries. I realize that boundaries can increase potential and power rather than having no boundaries. I believe parents are making a tragic error when they do not establish boundaries for their children and for their young people. If you let them do what is right in their own eyes, they are going to do what is wrong and think that it's right. And that's not the same thing. And so God chooses where we live. I never dreamed, my wife and I never dreamed we would ever be in Florida. I had been to Florida on vacation once. I thought I would end up in a landlocked ministry because I came from the heartland of America. She came from the Illinois. She came from Chicago. And never dreamed I would be here. But God continued to open the door until I can look back now and say, he closed that door so he could open that door, so he could get me to where he wanted me, so I could fulfill the mission and the purpose that he has for me. He doesn't just do that for pastors. He did that for you. Why 2026? Because God knew Brevard County needed you to share Jesus and know him and make him known. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.